ABC Radio Australia.
Now, Australia has just unveiled new climate targets, pledging to cut emissions by 62 to 70% by 2035. It's a move that will be watched closely across the Pacific, where rising seas and stronger storms are threatening homes and livelihoods. So, is this climate target from Australia bold enough, and what will it mean for the region? I'm joined now by Vanuatu's Climate Change Minister, Ralph Reginvanu. With that, I say good morning, Minister. Thank you for joining us on Pacific Beat.
Good morning.
Minister, what is your assessment of this new emissions target?
Unfortunately, it's far short of what's required to keep communities in the Pacific, but also in Australia, safe. The science is clear, and it says to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius, which is what we all agreed on in Paris. Australia's target should be a cut of at least 75% on 2005 levels. Not the 62 to 70%. And this is something that the global think tank Climate Analytics said in its report it released last week, explaining that Australia's 2035 target should be a cut of around 81%. So the target announced yesterday is unfortunately far short of what we need to really see climate change addressed scientifically and according to the highest possible ambition, which is what the Paris Agreement says these targets should reflect.
So, Minister, what message does this send to Pacific countries then?
Well, as you know, the Pacific Island countries have been calling for the most ambitious action, and that's for decades. We've been calling for the world to cut emissions. The Pacific's been at the forefront of the call for a phase out of fossil fuels, which is the major contributor to emissions. So, Australia is a country, if you take the emissions per capita, it's got the third highest per capita cumulative emissions in the world. So it needs to do far more than this to really be addressing climate change in a way that reflects the Boy Declaration, which is the Pacific's statement on climate change being the single greatest threat to the security of our peoples. And Australia was part of that declaration, right, in Nauru back in 2018. So they need to step up more and be more ambitious in addressing emissions to really reflect their participation as a member of the Pacific Island Forum in the Boy Declaration and other statements that are made calling for high ambition. And we know Australia can do more because they're a G20 country. The economy, you know, 1,000 times more than countries like Vanuatu. But fossil fuel exports constitute, 40% of their commodity exports. So they can do more. Australia can do more. And I would have thought that they would have done more considering the National Climate Risk Assessment that came out this week, which showed the really severe harm that climate change will cause in Australia over the next years. But as we know in the Pacific, it's already climate change is already, as I said in the Boy Declaration, our single greatest threat. And unfortunately, we need to see all countries in the world, especially big emitters, do much, much more to reduce their emissions.
Do you think it will undermine Australia's relationship with the Pacific?
Our relationship, Pacific relationship with Australia is strong. It's stronger than what happened yesterday with the release of these figures, but it does. We are continually frustrated with Australia's inability to meet its legal obligations under the Paris Agreement and now under the advisory opinion from the ICJ to, set the highest possible ambition in its targets, make sure that it's contributing its part proportionate to its the size of its economy and the level of its emissions. This is the equity principle of, common but differentiated responsibilities. The more you are contributing, the more you should reduce your emissions and so on. So we're not seeing that in this target. And the Pacific continues to support the call for the Australia-Pacific COP be held in the region next year. Very clearly a part of that will need to be much more attention to phasing out the fossil fuel pipeline in Australia. And that's something that's been very clear from a number of our leaders, that that is what we expect from COP31 next year.
That's it. Well, I mean, and looking at last week only, Australia's government approved, you know, that expansion of a massive coal and gas project. How then do you think Australia's track record on approving these projects affects trust in its climate commitments like this target in the region?
Well, it does undermine trust, I must say. I mean, we have been calling for, you know, no new fossil fuel projects to be approved in Australia. That's been a clear call from Pacific leaders. And then what happened last week, you know, that was a slap in the face for the Pacific, basically. We cannot afford to disengage with Australia. Australia's our biggest partner in the region, but these kind of things really test our relationship.
And you did just briefly speak about, you know, Australia and the Pacific possibly hosting COP next year. Again, will this help or hinder that bid?
The bid is underway, and the Pacific just last week at the Pacific Island Forum Leaders Summit in Honiara, the leaders re-endorsed, gave their support again for Australia and Pacific as co-hosts. Next week in New York at the Climate Week at the General Assembly, the Pacific will continue to lobby with Australia for this COP to come to the region. And that's because we see that we can benefit a lot from having the COP here, particularly in terms of bringing the finance we need into the region to help us with our transition, to help us with our adaptation, to help us with, you know, the Pacific Resilience Facility, for example, that was just signed off last week in Honiara. Bring resources into the Pacific that can help us. But at the same time, we don't want this joint bid greenwashed, essentially, to be a greenwash of actually what's happening in Australia with increasing fossil fuel production. And that's what we're seeing now, and we don't want that to happen.
Look, Minister, finally, Australia's Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, is going to travel to New York this weekend for the United Nations General Assembly, where we know world leaders will update their climate target commitments. But what are you hoping to see from other world leaders?
Well, we need very ambitious NDCs this year. We need all economies to commit to very ambitious targets for reduction of emissions. We're basically at a crisis point. We're at a tipping point for the world. We need to see the greatest ambition in these targets. We need to see much more commitment to climate finance for the most vulnerable. And these are all things we've already agreed upon. Like the Paris Agreement, the world agreed to do this. We just need to make sure it happens. It happens, and it happens much faster and deeper than we're seeing. And so we are calling out to all the major economies. You know, we've China, the US, the big contributors, Australia, others. We have to do this because our future is on the line. And it's not only the Pacific, it's everybody in the world. So we're just sort of at the front line, and everyone will face this future if we don't curb emissions. And I think the climate risk report that came out last week in Australia, or just this week actually, says it very clearly, you know, that Australia also is going to face a huge harm from climate change in the coming years if these issues aren't addressed.
Sorry, I do want to quickly get this question in, Minister, before we let you go. I know that you had mentioned the Australian government's climate risk assessment, which came out recently. What message should that give to the Australian people? Like, would you like to see them place more pressure on the government?
Absolutely. I mean, and we've seen, for example, the hundreds of businesses in Australia have called for a target to be 75% cut in emissions. And these businesses have made that call because they have got modelling which suggests that a strong target would leave the Australian economy better off than a lower target. So what's happening now is Australia's balancing economy and emissions control, and basically economy is winning out. But what the models show us is that in the end, the economy will suffer as a result much more from climate change than if some hard decisions are taken now to really cut emissions now and start to transition the economy of Australia will be better off in the longer term. And that's why we're seeing, you know, all of these businesses calling based on this modeling for a target of at least 75%, which is what we are calling for also.
Minister, that is all the time we have for this morning, but look, we really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
And that is Vanuatu's Climate Change Minister, Ralph Reginwanu, speaking there.